The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs faithful Lutheran laymen, commissioned ministers, and pastors to serve on its boards, commissions, and agencies. Nominations are open for the Boards of Regents at our Concordia Universities and Seminaries, the LCMS Board of Directors, the Office of National and International Mission, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Concordia Publishing House, and the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs you. issuesetc.org/nominations.
If I ever write this letter, all the pages I could write.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time for listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line. We're going to do our best to respond to some criticism, one from our interview with Carl Truman on the revolution of self, some questions with some listeners regarding their live streaming. They're listening to pre-roll spots that should not be there, but they are. And then we'll talk a little bit about women writing theology. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382.
You know, I shouldn't mention this because podcast listeners won't know what we're talking about, but right before we came on to this segment, email comment line, I heard a commercial voiced by me for the 2022 National Lutherans for Life conference. I don't know about you. I can't stand listening to myself.
What is it about it?
I hate it. I think it's terrible. And I don't know. I can't stand it. I come in here and I heard it. I just turn it down. I can't listen to myself. I think it stinks.
Isn't that the whole reason why you're not a big fan of email? Because you have to go on the air?
Correct. And just imagine how much I would hate going on the air and then on the way home listening to myself from today's email comment line segment.
See, I don't listen to the show, so I don't really have any. And I guess I hear myself. If we're doing something pre-recorded, I'm sitting in here hearing myself anyway. It kind of wears off after a while. I've also lost that sense that people have when they remember back in the day when you could tape record yourself and then you could hear back what you really sound like, not your internal voice, but the voice that you actually hear, and it sounded so strange to you. That's completely worn off for me. Do I really sound like that? That part of my brain has been broken permanently.
People still love that. I was working a shift at Tropical Snow on a Saturday night, and a family from East St. Louis came in, two little girls, grandma, and I said, hey, you want to see a radio studio? Come on back. And these two girls, first of all, before they even knew they were being recorded, just loved being on a microphone and hearing themselves through headphones, thought it was the neatest thing in the world. And then when I played it back to them, I mean, this was like Christmas to them. So it's kind of exciting that people still like, you know, little kids still get excited about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Me? Can't stand it. Miles writes, and he's writing in regards to our interview earlier this week with Dr. Carl Truman of Grove City College on the revolution of self.
Who, by the way, should be a future conference speaker, without a doubt.
So absolutely. Miles says, programs like the one that's on right now remind me of the Monty Python episode when one guy accuses the other of running a talking shop. The detailed scholarly history of this gender insanity doesn't matter now. Where we are is a real fight where the bad guys are simply forcing the issue. I remember when the bathroom craziness came to the forefront. I knew that if anyone placed a male in any restroom where my wife, daughter, or possible future grandchild were, I would physically remedy the situation if possible or take the consequences. Let's issue a call to real resistance, including physical resistance, and face the consequences. Otherwise, we are absolute, I won't say the words, and I'm sick of it. Issues sounds like it's 2002. You can't pretend that the war is still in that phase. Get with it, concludes Miles.
Actually, I completely disagree, because you have to understand the forces that are arrayed against you. You have to understand the strategy and the tactics and the assumptions of your opponent. Otherwise, you're not equipped to mount a defense except for just physically standing your ground. We have to not only be able to resist this, and to a certain degree, I agree, resist it physically, not with violence, but with simply not allowing things to happen, that where your vocation requires that of you, obviously, yes. But you need to understand the roots of these things. This didn't happen all of a sudden, and it isn't merely a power play. If only to understand what's next. Because this isn't the end of it. This isn't the final goal. The transgender agenda has assumptions. They're not entirely consistent or logical. And it has goals that are beyond just getting men into women's bathrooms. And the way to understand that is to go back to the roots of these ideas, figure out where they came from, and then we're equipped to respond to it and to defend our position, not only in the sense of trying to keep men out of women's bathrooms, we're able to respond to the actual ideas that are being put forth. If we act like the ideas don't matter or that phase is over with, we will lose this. So I think Christians need to understand as deeply as possible the machinations of the enemy.
And I think conservative Christians need to be able to make intellectual arguments for their cases, not a soundbite from Fox News.
Exactly. I mean, and here's the deal. No one's going to go into my daughter's bathroom. That makes you feel better. Okay? Doesn't convince a single person. If we are trying to show people that there are bad ideas, bad and dangerous ideas that are taking shape here, we have to be able to say what those ideas are and where they come from and be able to respond to it. Just saying no one's going to get into my daughter's bathroom, it's good as far as it goes, but it doesn't go very far. Then you just station yourself at the bathroom door, right? And the principal of the school or the superintendent of the school says, well, let's just call the police. Okay, that's paying the consequences. And guess what? That guy gets to go back into the girl's bathroom again once you're gone. Or like so many are, God bless them, showing up at school board meetings and confronting the actual school board and saying, we know what you guys are up to. We know what you're thinking. We know the books you've been reading. The jig is up. And we're not going to stand for it. We're going to come here every time and make arguments against this. But to do that, you got to understand it.
I thought the Truman interview, especially at the end, was extremely practical. And maybe you can summarize it when he said Christians shouldn't be optimistic or pessimistic.
And he said hopeful.
But we should be faithful.
Yeah, faithful and hopeful. And because ultimately, this isn't about whether we win or lose this thing. Because we know that. We know that in the end, regardless of how long it takes to get there, we will be victorious over these forces of the devil. We know that. But to be faithful, we have to understand. And to be hopeful, we have to understand the Christian hope that's there. So I completely agree with Dr. Truman on this one. And the more we can dig into where these ideas came from, the better we understand not only how wrong they are and how dangerous they are, but how to respond to them. And we have to have a response. We're commanded by Scripture to give a response and to take every thought captive to Christ.
I do think Miles brings up a good point. There's a segment of the hard left that no longer wants intellectual argumentation.
Yeah, but we got to be able to provide it.
You might not win those people over.
Oh, no, you're not going
to. You don't have to win those people over. You need to win the mushy middle or the people in the middle right now.
Right. The person who says, well, maybe they got some good points. But you got to know what their points are if you're going to refute them.
So you got somebody on the fence on this transgender bathroom, and your response is, well, I'm going to stay outside the bathroom, and I'm going to kick their you-know-what. Okay. Did you win somebody who's in the middle on this issue over?
Or someone who is worried about it, but they don't know.
They're uninformed.
How to respond to it. They're simply uninformed.
All right, this comes from Rob. He said, I noticed that TuneIn streaming has started adding ads both before starting and even during the streaming of Lutheran Public Radio. I've usually utilized TuneIn to stream Lutheran Public Radio through the Alexa Dot at home. It seems to be a default. There has even been an ad for Planned Parenthood. Do you know of streaming services that work with Alexa that don't put on their own ads, or does your own app work with Alexa? Great question. Thanks for listening, Rob.
I think our own app does work with Alexa. TuneIn, I've contacted TuneIn, and they're the ones who are providing, we call them pre-rolls, the ad that plays before the show. That's their own stuff. We don't appear to have much editorial control over that content.
When they're streaming on like Alexa or probably Google Home or Apple Mini Pod or Apple
whatever it is.
Whatever it is. We don't control that.
Right. And now if there are ads that run in the middle, those are ours. Now, if you happen to hear an objectionable ad running in the middle of our show that's like going, you know, interrupting our audio, please let us know. But I don't think TuneIn is doing that. So all TuneIn is doing is playing the pre-rolls to those things. And we don't appear to have any control over what that is. And I'm sure that for TuneIn, it is entirely automated. There's not somebody saying, aha, I want this ad to run here. It's they're going to automate it. Their advertisers are going to pay for a certain amount of time. And I would think their advertisers would want their ads to play on podcasts before podcasts that actually have people who are potential customers.
We're not talking podcasts here. We're talking about streaming of our talk and music.
Yeah, the streaming.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the streaming of the of these things. I mean, the advertisers want to reach their audience. They don't just want it tossed out there. So I'm sure TuneIn is doing everything they can to match advertisers to the content. And that may account for some of the mismatches.
So workarounds are listen at LutheranPublicRadio.org or on the LPR mobile app, because that's streaming direct. I'm looking at it right now. Right now, Lord Thee I Love With All My Heart is playing by the Concordia Seminary Chorus on our 24/7 sacred music station. Is there a way to connect the LPR app to like an Alexa device? I know there's definitely a way to hook up to your TV. How do you do that, Wilkin?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Not off the top of my head. Okay.
There's got to be a way to do that. Somebody smarter than us, send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. So what we're trying to do is a workaround around Amazon, Alexa, Apple, whatever it is, Apple Home something.
Or you could look for the content on a different streaming provider. We're on a bunch of streaming providers. And find one that either doesn't have ads. That's hard to find nowadays. Everybody's got to make a buck. Or find one that isn't playing the pre-rolls. So,
hey, happy 247th anniversary to the U.S. Navy today, Todd. You know that?
No, I did not know that.
Lutheran Church Missouri Synod chaplains deliver word and sacrament ministry to our military personnel and their families. Learn about their work at lcms.org/armedforces, serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
We're going through listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line, that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. We'll get to more listener email and comment on the other side. Then Margot Cleveland will join us. We'll discuss a proposed constitutional amendment in Michigan that would remove parental consent for both abortion and gender transition for minors. She's senior legal correspondent for The Federalist. But until then, your email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Stay tuned.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Is there a difference between what different Christian denominations teach? Or is Lutheran, for example, just the flavor of Christianity that you prefer to put in your religious ice cream cone? Is there more to what we believe, teach, and confess? Well, the October issue of the Lutheran Witness took up this very question. What is the difference between Lutheranism and other Christian denominations? To pick up your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Hello.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
This email comes from Linda in Portage, Michigan. By the way, Linda, be sure to vote no on Prop 3 in Michigan. Linda writes, as a longtime listener, I have occasionally been disappointed when you promise guests and topics that never materialize. This last occurred October 7th at the end of Dr. Carl Fakencher's teaching on the three-year lectionary. Pastor Wilkin promoted an upcoming segment on gender theory that really piqued my interest, but the segment with Dr. Carlson was not in the podcast queue. I finally found the episode I wanted, Liberalism, Gender Theory, and Fewer Children, by visiting your website and searching for Alan Carlson. This was not without its own frustrations because I didn't know how to spell Alan Carlson. There are many variations to both his first and last names. Yes, we are quite well aware of that. I still don't think I spell either one of them correctly. Other times when this same problem has occurred, I haven't had the time or fortitude to go on a treasure hunt for the missing episode. Instead, I am simply left feeling disappointed, confused, or annoyed. Would you please prevent this repeatedly happening to myself and other listeners? My suggestion is to include the original broadcast date in the show notes whenever you repeat previously recorded segments. Had I known that Dr. Fakencher's dated to October 4th, 2016, it would have been much easier for me to find Dr. Carlson's interview. Thank you for helping us enjoy every last tidbit of Issues Etc. And thank you for listening in the great state of Michigan, Linda.
She's referring to our reruns, we'll just call them what they are, our reruns of two particular segments. One is Looking Forward to Sunday Morning with Dr. Carl Fakencher recording the three-year lectionary, and the other one is Looking Forward to Sunday Morning with Pastor David Peterson. That one is actually going to be slowly replaced because I think we've procured Pastor Peter Bender to do some fresh episodes of that. They'll still be there on the website, but we're going to start producing fresh episodes with Pastor Peter Bender and doing other things with Pastor David Peterson. But those run, some of them in Dr. Fakencher's case, some of them are years old. And up to recently, we had been just simply running them as they are. But we've been trying to, as time permits, to put a new open and a new close on it that accurately reflect the whatever may be coming next or isn't coming next.
And you're talking about the ones that run during the, quote, live segment, 3 to 5 Central, Monday through Friday,
right.
not the encores.
Not the encores that just appear on the podcast feed. Those will appear, and sometimes we put them in the live segment, usually try and fit them in the second hour. So when we can't do that, just remember, if you're listening to it live and you're hearing it in the second hour, it's one of these reruns. Whatever I say at the end is not true. We won't be talking later with anybody else because that's the end of the show. But we're going to try our best to get the close and the open to fit the current day.
So, Linda, here's our dilemma. Our dilemma is we have terrestrial radio stations and streaming internet stations. They rely on us to provide 10 hours of programming every week. Believe you me, it would be much easier for all of us to just produce podcasts. And the older I get, the more tempting it becomes because we have to fill those 10 hours.
And we have to fill them in a certain way. There's about 50% of the time we hit the network clock that our affiliates may be using, but sometimes we just blow it out. And
well, that's way more than 50, Craig, right? I mean, that's an exaggeration, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'd say we're probably closer to 90.
Yeah, okay. 98. It just feels like 50. So those are the two constraints we have. Producing 2 hours of continuous radio 5 days a week and staying to a network clock. And I've been advocating with Jeff quietly for years now that let's just blow out the network clock. We keep it for a couple reasons. It is much easier on our affiliates. Number two,
it's necessary for our affiliates because they're automated. There's not usually a person sitting there going, "Oh, the show's over with now. I can switch over to another program."
They're almost completely automated. There isn't a person there pressing buttons. And the other reason is there is a certain discipline in producing 2 hours of radio where that clock does produce a kind of discipline that without it, I know we would very quickly kind of get lazy.
Well, I would say was it Acedia? Is that the term?
Yes.
The Acedia could set in, it's like, let's don't shoot for 10 hours this week. What do they say? We do about 7 hours of programming. And Linda, when we're filling these hours, it's usually later in the week, and we are trying to get a guest up into what, 15 minutes, half hour before 3 o'clock, 3:03 for affiliates Central Time. We're trying our best.
Yeah, this is
to not run these encores.
Radio is contrary to what many people believe. It's while there are some things we know we'll be doing pretty far in advance, those are few and far between. Generally speaking, we are putting the show together. Jeff is putting the show together as the day and the hours are getting closer and closer to showtime. And by showtime, with the very few exceptions, we have 2 hours of radio ready to go. But
or in some semblance, not so, it's not always
ready.
But we have
sometimes it might be 90 minutes of the 2 hours
right
set to go.
And so Jeff spends a lot of time doing math. You know, this gets us to that. We have to get this.
Actually, Craig does the math.
Yeah,
for me, but
this gets us. This guest will get us to this point, and the next guest, that's where we'll put them, and they'll get us to the other point, and then we somehow end up at 58:50 at the top of each hour. So that's those are the constraints that we're working under.
We've tried this the last couple weeks. When we have time, we will try to, if we have to run one of those Fakencher looking forward to Sunday morning 3-year lectionary encores, or Peterson looking forward to Sunday morning 1-year lectionary encores, we will try to redo the opens and the closes if time permits.
That's so as to not confuse people.
Correct. Madeline writes, a friend of mine has been harassed on social media recently by some guys because she, a woman, published a book on theology through Concordia Publishing House. Their claim is that writing a book on theological topics is the same as women holding pastoral office and preaching. So my question is this, is there something doctrinally wrong with a woman publishing a book on theological topics? Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Madeline.
I think I happen to be holding the book in question in my hand as we speak. It's The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for October, Confessing Jesus, The Heart of Being a Lutheran by Molly Lackey. That's the authoress that they are referring to. I've witnessed some of the hostility she's encountered online for writing a book. And the argument is generally, it's really kind of a weak guilt by association argument. The argument is, well, because Paul, and he does, forbid women to teach in the church, that they ought to learn in silence, that they ought not to teach in the church. These are the classic seats of doctrine for the ordination of men only that the church has always recognized. But the argument goes against women writing theology is because Paul forbids that, he must also be, by extension, forbidding women to do any kind of theology publicly, even to the point of they can't write books on theology because that is somehow tantamount to teaching or preaching in the church or usurping the pastoral office. It isn't. Because writing a book is an entirely different activity. Paul does not have that in view when he is addressing the Corinthians. What he has in view is what's happening there on the Lord's Day in the congregation. And what he's forbidding there is a universal command. He says this is a command from the Lord that women are not to teach or exercise authority in the church. To write a book is not in view for Paul. What Paul is forbidding is the very specific thing that the Corinthians were abusing in this case. The Ephesians and others were abusing when he writes these things. So you're stretching Paul's prohibition beyond where it's intended to go. And someone who says, well, but she wrote it for a church-owned publishing house. Doesn't that mean she's teaching in the church? A publishing house is not a church. The church is known by its marks.
Neither are we.
No, we're not. The church is known by its marks, and those marks are the pure proclamation of God's word and the right administration of the sacraments according to Christ's institution. Those are the two marks of the church recognized by the Lutheran confessions. That's when you see that. You see that's where the church is, and Christian publishers do not qualify. They print and sell books. They don't preach or administer the sacraments. So even if the publishing house is owned by a church body, doesn't make it a church. Heck, if everything owned by the church body were a church, what in the world? I mean, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod has a lot of entities that are not church.
Would female comfort dogs be allowed then?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Male-only comfort dogs.
I might have to raise that question. But I want to highly recommend Molly's book because what she's done is she's taken some very, very deep and sometimes complicated theology around the two natures in the one person of Christ and the Trinity, and she's provided it in a very accessible way. And you can find out more about Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran, at our website, issuesetc.org, or just call Concordia Publishing House, not a church, a publishing house. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Confessing Jesus.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs faithful Lutheran laymen, commissioned ministers, and pastors to serve on its boards, commissions, and agencies. Nominations are open for the Boards of Regents at our Concordia Universities and Seminaries, the LCMS Board of Directors, the Office of National and International Mission, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Concordia Publishing House, and the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs you. issuesetc.org/nominations.
Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Those serving in the armed forces want LCMS chaplains. We need courageous pastors to bring the gospel and sacraments to those protecting our nation, along with wise counsel and the peace found only in Christ Jesus. If you are between the age of 26 and 43 and have a heart for ministry in the armed forces, call 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When a 2018 fire nearly destroyed Milwaukee's historic Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church, we got to work, but continued to give the gifts Christ freely gives to his saints here in Milwaukee as we have since 1847. We are nearly two-thirds of the way to completion on this historic restoration, but we need help to finish this work. Will you join us? Please consider joining us. Visit trinitymilwaukee.org for more information. And as pastor, I can't wait to welcome you home to Trinity.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/LutherAcademy.
I'm assuming you got my message on your machine.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Coming up, Margot Cleveland, senior legal correspondent for The Federalist, will join us to discuss a proposed constitutional amendment in Michigan that removes parental consent for both abortion and transgender transition for minors.
Now, since I know most live listeners are passive listeners during commercial breaks, and most podcast listeners fast forward through commercial breaks, we just heard a great commercial from Historic Trinity Lutheran Church in Milwaukee. Remember the interview we did with the district president there when that fire ravaged that historic church in Milwaukee, Wilkin?
Yes.
So they're restoring that church, and it's a project worthy of our listeners' support. You can find out more at trinitymilwaukee.org, trinitymilwaukee.org. My name is Chris. I run our church's Facebook and website pages. I plugged your organization today in our Facebook page, as we want more of our members to see why we're so enamored with your efforts. At the risk of sounding stupid, that's okay to do, right? I probably should have investigated this sooner. Any info regarding situations like these would be most appreciated. And by the way, her church is Concordia Lutheran Church in Jackson, Tennessee. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the email, Chris.
Well, thank you very much for promoting it. We're happy for people to do that. I wish more people would do it. Every little bit of effort is helpful. And, you know, I think what some of our listeners may realize is they may be regular listeners. If you go around and ask your fellow parishioners on Sunday morning, have you heard of Issues, et cetera, the most likely answer will be no. So just because you know about it doesn't mean that other people know about it. Just because you're listening doesn't mean that other people are listening. And word of mouth is the very best advertising.
Nathan in Iowa, I very much appreciate your excellent programs and guests. Keep up the good work. This is in response to Todd's rather Pollyanna reply to Dave, who asked about what to do in a district in which the district president supports open communion. This is last week's email comment line segment. First, he was told to campaign to have the DP replaced. I think that was my suggestion, and you agreed with that, Wilkin. That's fine, but in a liberal district, there's no chance that a conservative who insists upon close long O communion would be elected. You'd only replace one open communion guy for another. What did you gain? Second, he was told to get some conservative pastors and laymen together to prepare a resolution for the district convention. That was your suggestion. A resolution that would almost certainly die in committee and never see the convention floor. If it did make it to the convention, it would have been altered to remove any teeth it might have had to enforce close communion. If by some miracle it came to the convention floor as originally written, it would be amended to remove any such teeth before being passed. And finally, any resolution that might be passed concerning this subject would have to include the pastoral discretion clause that permits a pastor to say, I do practice close communion, but in my discretion, I'll commune whoever shows up at the altar. All the time spent on the original resolution would be completely wasted. Why bother? Better advice for Dave, the listener, would be to find the nearest confessional church that practices close communion and transfer your membership there and let your pastor slash congregation know why. If none are nearby, get together with some like-minded Lutherans and start one. Send mission dollars directly to the organizations slash causes that you wish to support. Send no money to the district as long as the district president supports open communion. Starve the beast. Don't feed it, concludes Nathan in Iowa. And by the way, he said close communion. I think I read it close communion. I think he wrote close communion, long O.
Well, I won't debate him on close communion. It's a made-up term. But I like his suggestions there at the end of the email. Yes, find another congregation, by all means. Let your pastor, the congregation you're leaving, let them know why you're leaving. Let your district president know why you're leaving as well. But that doesn't preclude the honest and albeit futile efforts to try and get something done in your district. If you don't write resolutions like this, guess what? They'll never come to the floor. But it's worth trying. There are districts that have been turned around on this thing, and it's been done by largely anonymous but very faithful lay people and pastors just continuing to write those resolutions and write them and write them and write them, if only to expose those who want to reject closed communion. But in time, those resolutions may have the additional effect of teaching the people who gather for that convention. And if only to require the district president to state why he opposes closed communion. Because a lot of times he'll do exactly that. He'll say, oh, we practice the Synod's practice, but he just does what he wants. And he lets his pastors do what they want. It's cowardice. But just like saying, well, we could elect a different man district president. If no one ever tries, they never will. You may spend the rest of your life trying and failing, but sooner or later, the dam is going to break and someone's going to make a difference. It's happened. But if no one ever writes the resolution or makes the nomination or any of those kind of things and just says, it's futile, I'm just going to retreat to my congregation, then it will never happen. You can't pass a resolution you never write.
I remember Pastor Charlie Froh, Grace Lutheran, I believe, in San Mateo, California, and Pastor Martin Taddy, I believe it was Trinity Lutheran in Palo Alto. He said, convention after convention, whatever district that is, it was basically the two of them at the microphone, knowing they weren't going to win.
Oh, they're going to lose. They knew it.
Making the public confession. God bless those men. And, you know, we've got a synodical convention for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod coming up. And as we've mentioned before, we need as many of our listeners to be nominated for positions, leadership positions, serving our boards, commissions, and agencies of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The deadline, I think, is October 29th.
Yes.
So go to issuesetc.org/nominations and let's make each and every LCMS board, agency, and commission meeting an Issues Etc. mini conference. Michael in Oklahoma, in response to your show post 2792 on race, I was looking at an encased display for the first post-Civil War court records for the Oklahoma County Courthouse. It included a list of each court case and a physical description of each defendant. Instead of race, this is post-Civil War. This is right after the Civil War. Each record included a description of each defendant's complexion, light, dark, etc. No mention of race.
Interesting. Interesting. And I think what I want to return to there is how recent this notion of race has entered our lexicon. I'm not saying it was yesterday, but I'm saying this idea of race has followed the course that was built into it, that was baked into it from the very beginning. If you believe that people have evolved to different levels of ability, intelligence, humanness, if you believe that there are some races that are higher and lower than others through this notion of human evolution, you will end up where we are today. It may take 120 years or 200 years, as is the case here, but you will end up here. You will end up where, with identity politics. It's going to find itself in that situation eventually. You're going to end up with things like the Nazi domination of Germany and the Holocaust. It's going to end up with all these things. Race is a bad idea. History has proven that race, even if it were true, which it isn't, is a terrible idea. It leads, it's like communism, it always leads to human suffering. So what I'm suggesting is, given the fact that scripture gives us no basis whatsoever for thinking in terms of race, why don't we stop doing that? Just you in your own little life, stop thinking in terms of race. It's not easy to do, but you can do it. Number one, you get two things in your favor. One, race isn't real. And two, it's such a bad idea, it always ends up with human suffering. It always ends up this way. So we could try stopping and maybe do what some of those early civil rights leaders presciently suggested that we do, which is stop thinking in terms of race. Stop thinking in terms of the differences based solely on appearance. Say whatever you want to say about Martin Luther King Jr. He hit the nail on the head when he said, skin color simply is no basis for judging the value of a human being. It is merely surface and it is no basis whatsoever. So let's just drop the bad idea, the bad and dangerous idea.
One quick email, Sean, Grand Island, Nebraska. Hey guys, more Reed Lessing. Wow.
Yes. I'm very happy to have Dr. Lessing back on the program. And it's nice to, we recently did his book on Exodus and the insights in that book were simply tremendous. We didn't get to all of them, but I personally gained an entirely expanded view of Exodus and its connection to the rest of the Old Testament and its connection to the New Testament in those conversations with Dr. Lessing. So, yes, I agree. More Reed Lessing. When we come back, Margo Cleveland's going to join us. We're going to talk about a proposed constitutional amendment in Michigan that removes parental consent from abortion and gender transition for minors. How does Jesus define the Christian's identity? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran. This new book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or look for Confessing Jesus at our website, issuesetc.org. Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press is a family-run publisher of classical Christian education materials for homeschools and private schools. Every page of the Memoria Press curriculum leads students to a mastery of content, an understanding of the classical heritage of the Christian West, and an appreciation of truth, goodness, and beauty. If you're interested in learning more, visit memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR23. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. memoriapress.com.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.